Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are changing things up a little bit this morning. We're sort of combining a Christmas Eve service with a worship service, so we're going to do things slightly different this morning, but we're still going to worship the same Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to take a few moments here to share with you the origin story of our next song, and it's also going to lead into the message later on this morning. And so just let me start. In 1847, Placide Capot, a wine merchant and poet in a small French town, is asked by his parish priest to write a poem for Christmas Eve Mass. And although Placide is not a member of the parish, he is honored as a poet to share his talents with the church. And so in a dusty coach, traveling down a bumpy road to Paris for business, Placide considers the priest's request. And using the Gospel of Luke as his guide, he imagines witnessing the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And the thoughts of being present on that blessed night inspires him. And so in that ride, in that coach, before he arrives to Paris, he writes the poem and he entitles it Cantique de Noël. I'm not French, so that's all you're going to get from me. Okay? Cantique de Noël. So feeling compelled that his completed work is not just a poem, but it's also a song, he turns to a friend of his who is a composer. His name is Charles Adams. Now, as a man of Jewish ancestry, Charles Adams, for Charles Adams, the words of this poem represent a day that he does not celebrate and a man that he does not view as a son of God. Nevertheless, he quickly goes to work, and he attempts to marry an original score to Placide's beautiful words. And upon its completion, the song is performed just 3 weeks later at a midnight mass on Christmas Eve. A decade after that, a reclusive American writer brings this song to a whole new audience halfway around the world. Now, John Sullivan Dwight feels that this wonderful song is not just a Christmas song, but it needs to be introduced to America in another way. He sees something else in this song that moves him beyond the story of the birth of Christ. As an ardent abolitionist, Dwight strongly identifies with the lines of one of the verses, and the line says this: "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." This text supports Dwight's own view of slavery in the South that's going on in this time of America's history. And so the song is published later in his magazine. Dwight's English translation of O Holy Night quickly finds favor in America, especially in the North during the Civil War. Now, before we sing this song, I want to share two remarkable stories of how this song produces light in a dark world. One is a true story, the other is a legend. I don't know what's going on with this microphone. It's 2 weeks in a row now that it's giving us some problems.
Someone asked me how my morning was going.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, I play with one eye.
So one of these stories is true and the other is a legend. We'll start with the legend. On Christmas Eve of 1871, in the midst of fierce fighting between the armies of Germany and France during the Franco-Prussian War, a French soldier suddenly jumps out of his muddy trench. Both sides stare at him, seemingly at a crazed man as he stands boldly with no weapon in his hand and no weapon at his side. And he lifts his eyes toward the heavens and he begins to sing, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. After the French soldier completes the final stanza, a German infantryman then climbs out of his hiding space and begins to sing Martin Luther's song from Heaven Above
to earth I come. Legend has it that the fighting stops for the next 24 hours as the soldiers from both sides observe a temporary peace in honor of Christmas Eve. The second story involving this song is more factual. On Christmas Eve of 1906, Reginald Fedison, who was a 33-year-old university professor and former chief chemist for Thomas Edison, accomplishes something long thought impossible. Using a new type of generator, Fessenden speaks into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a man's voice is broadcast over the airwaves. In a clear, strong voice, he begins to read the Christmas story as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Think about that. The first word spoken over the airwaves was God's word. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yeah.
And how far we have come to be able to speak God's word to almost every part of the planet. So radio operators and ships and wireless owners at newspapers are shocked and astonished as their normal coded impulses, otherwise known as Morse code, are interrupted by a professor reading from the Gospel of Luke. The few who catch this broadcast believe that they are hearing the voice of an angel.
Mm-hmm.
After finishing his recitation of the biblical account of the birth of Christ, Fessenden picks up his violin and plays O Holy Night, thus making this inspirational carol the very first song ever to be sent through the airwaves.
Wow.
From the very first rendition at a small Christmas Mass in 1847 and the original broadcast over the airwaves in 1903 and to the countless arrangements and performances throughout history and to today, O Holy Night has been sung millions of times in churches and other venues in every corner of the world and has become one of the entertainment industry's most recorded and played spiritual songs. This incredible work, requested by a forgotten parish priest, written by a poet who would later split from the church, giving soaring music by a Jewish composer, and is brought to America to serve as much as a tool to spotlight the sinful nature of slavery, as to tell the story of the birth of a Savior, has become one of the most beautiful, inspired pieces of music ever created. So as we studied already throughout this Advent season, holy simply means set apart. When we say that God is a holy God, it means that he is different. He is set apart. He is the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the ever-present God. He is set apart from any other God or deity known to man. And as the creator and sustainer of all life, God is holy, and he is deserving of our praise. And Christmas Eve, although we're here during the day, Christmas Eve is a holy night. It is a night set apart from any other night throughout the history of mankind. The theme of Advent is anticipation, and Christmas Eve is filled with more expectation than any other night of the year. Children, and even some adults, find it very hard to sleep as they eagerly await the moment that they can open their gifts. Christmas Eve, however, is not just about the anticipation of material gifts. Throughout the season of Advent, we have been discussing the true meaning of Advent and the true meaning of Christmas, and that is salvation. Jesus comes to this world in the form of his creation to redeem the world. It is the birth of Christ that sets apart Christmas Eve from any other night. Christmas Eve is a holy night, and according to the song, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. This night is different from all the other nights, all the other 364 nights of the year, because it is the night Jesus makes his first appearance on earth. The prophets had been speaking of this very moment hundreds of years in advance. Let's see what Isaiah says. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. In the next line of O Holy Night, the songwriter gives us the reason for Jesus' birth. Long lay the world in sin and error. In this one sentence, the writer summarizes the entire message of the Old Testament. He describes the world from Genesis through Malachi. You see, since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve turned their backs on God, we all, like sheep, have likewise gone astray. The prophet Isaiah, again, he writes in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, he says, "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." And of course, him being his son, Jesus. Since the fall of mankind, mankind is in sin. We are in error, and all of humanity is an enemy of God. And while God is benevolent, while he is kind and good, humanity continues to turn his back on him. But what does God do? He allows mankind to live in that state for a little while. And like a good parent allowing a child to experience some of the consequences of their choices, God allows humanity to experience the consequence of sin. But he also, in his love, sends his son, Jesus Christ. The song says that the world is in sin and error, pining. And although we sing this song, do we really know what this line means? Pining literally means to be in a place of despair and depression. It means to be so distraught that you don't want to eat, or that you don't want to drink, or even live life. One is hopeless, one is helpless, one is lost. One may even be tired of living. And this is exactly where many people, and perhaps some of you today, might find yourselves, beat up and broken down. Life is not going the way we want it to, and so we wonder, what is going on? This is the reality that many people face day in and day out. We struggle to live in a world of sin. We struggle to live in a world full of error. And as a result, one might begin to lose hope. Our struggles, thankfully, will only last for a little while. Scripture tells us that sorrow may last for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. The song also tells us that our struggles will end. When will they end? At his appearing. The song, Jesus appears and the soul feels its worth. One major problem with Christmas songs is that some of you might think that this is a problem, is that we only sing them one time a year or during a certain time of year. I know some of you would like to sing them every day of the year. That's fine. I'm one that has to be after Thanksgiving. But anyway, one major problem is that we only sing these at a certain time of year. And as a result, we tend to view these songs as simple Christmas carols. And we often miss the bigger picture that the song paints. And as we sing these songs, the words tend to just roll off of our tongues, and we miss the very meaning and importance of some of these songs. And the songwriter here is essentially saying that before Jesus appears, we who are distraught, we who are desperate, who find ourselves in anguish, think sometimes that we are unloved by God. Did you ever feel that way? We see ourselves as worthless in God's sight. But then when Jesus appears, we can realize just how truly worthy we really are. If you remember nothing else from this service, remember this: your worth, your value is found solely in Jesus Christ. It's found in God's love for you. And as we discussed last week, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son just for you. So Christmas Eve night, the night our Savior makes his appearance, it tells all of us that God sees us worthy. He sees us worthy to be saved, and he certainly sees us worthy to be redeemed. Maybe you don't feel very worthy. Maybe you don't feel very loved on this day. Maybe you have been alienated by some people, And perhaps left you out of celebrations. Maybe relationships have been soured and you feel alone. And I want you to know today that Christmas reminds us that each of us is so important in love that God sent his only son to redeem us. It is in Christ that we find our true worth, our true value, and our true identity. This is the very thrill of hope about which the songwriter composes. The birth of Christ restores our hope in a God that loves us and so dearly desires to redeem us and have a relationship with us. This thrill of hope also describes the hope that we have in the return or the second coming of Christ. When Jesus returns, everything will be made new. We will have a new heaven and a new earth, and we will have new bodies, and we will have a new life, an eternal life with Jesus that will forever be spent with him in heaven. Because of this hope, this weary world can rejoice. It can only rejoice, however, if the world would just receive its true King into their hearts and into their lives. If there's anyone listening to this message who has yet to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is the Messiah, I urge you to do so today. You no longer need to live in misery and weariness. God has made a way for you to lighten your burden life. Scripture tells us to cast all of our fears, all of our worries and anxieties upon him. Whether you're saved or not, we are to cast everything upon him. Why? Because he deeply cares for you. Do not be afraid to place your life into his hands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Make this Christmas the best Christmas ever by accepting the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And along with a thrill of hope comes a new and glorious morn. Early Christmas morning is a glorious day. The hope of Christmas is that Jesus comes to a helpless and hopeless world to give it a new identity, to give it a new opportunity to live in fellowship with God. This leads us to only one response. The song says that we are to fall on our knees and hear the angel voices. And on this night when Christ is born, we are to realize that it is a divine night. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 say this: "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he is pleased.'" In this verse, we can find three ways we can worship this Christmas. One is we sing. We've already done that this morning, and we're going to do it some more later. But when the angels make their announcements, we have reason to sing. That is why we spend more time singing during this particular service. We are to rejoice in song, and I know that Calvary Church is a fellowship that loves to sing about the goodness, about the greatness, and about the holiness of our Lord. The second thing is that we are to announce this Christmas message. After the shepherds go and they see the baby and his mother, they make it known to everyone what was told to them. They also proclaim that they have seen the Messiah. And as we fill our hearts with singing the praises of the one who has come and will come again, let us share this glorious hope with others. And even today and tomorrow, as the days and the days to follow, as you gather with family and friends, be sure to tell them in one way or another, during your time of gathering together in celebration, that what you're doing is not just about getting the things that are under the tree. Rather, it is how Jesus has come to bring hope to the world. And finally, there is something else that the songwriter keys in on that I believe is important for us to think about these days. And Rick sort of already mentioned that this morning when he opened the service. He says that it is not good enough for us to sing about what God has done and will do, but we also need to show it. In the final stanza, he says, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. He then adds, chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression will cease. These words are truly revolutionary words. I already mentioned the impact that these words had on a divided country during the Civil War era. And unfortunately, our country continues to be divided amongst itself, not just on the issue of race as it was in the 1800s, but also on many other different social fronts. Our country is missing a very important element when it comes to solving disagreements, and it's love. I often hear the phrase, we don't have to like each other, but we do need to love each other. And there is a difference. There are going to be times when we don't get along, but that doesn't mean we stop loving one another, because loving heals. When we love one another, we're able to work through every disagreement. The Bible is very clear regarding love. We are to first love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And second, we are to love one another, which means we are to love friend, family, neighbor, fellow brother and sister in Christ, and yes, our enemies. The writer reminds us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is given to everyone, no matter who they are or who we are, no matter the color of the skin, no matter who we are in the social and economic world, no matter on which side of the track our house is found, or what we have done or what we have accomplished. None of these things matter when it comes to the love of God. None of these things matter when it comes to those whom he desires to see saved. My prayer for all of us this Christmas and for this new year is that we would love one another. This not only includes, again, family and friends, but all of our enemies and those who have hurt us and wronged us. The Bible teaches us to forgive them as Christ has forgiven us. Love is also found and how we look out for the stranger and help them in their time of need. As our fellowship grows, we will need to be mindful of how we love new members. If Calvary Church is going to be a place where people can heal and grow, love must be both the catalyst and the preserver of all that we do and say. Let me quickly remind all of us of the role that love plays within the church. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I just want to read verses 4 through the first part of verse 8. It says, love is patient, love is kind, and it is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It does not seek its own, it is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. If you don't memorize scripture, memorize those three words. Love never fails. This Christmas, may we let the love that God has for us shine through us so that the world around us might come to know and realize his great salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.